So we at the Center for Spiritual Living celebrate you. We celebrate you for who you are, because we know who you are, even though we may not know your name and we may not have met you, we may not have learned your story or anything about you yet. What we do know is that you are an expression of the divine. You are an individual version of this infinite power of life that moves through each and every one of us. So it's very easy for us to say we know you, because we are all of that same stuff, of that same creative expression and going and knowing. So while, like I said, we may not know all your details, we do know who you are at core and at base. Therefore, we can celebrate you, we can love you, we can say we are here because we believe in you, we believe in each other, we believe in the power of each of us to bring forward the life of our desires, the life of our greatest expression. And so standing in that truth and in that place, we can celebrate you. Whatever your pronoun, whatever your choices and beliefs about who you are and how you describe yourself, whatever your ethnicity, wherever your background, all of that is just part of the beauty and complexity of this great creation in which we live and move and have our being. So we celebrate each and every aspect of it. So welcome. Thank you for being here. And listen now to a little more about what we believe, what we know we believe, and what we share together in our Declaration of Principles. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. So that was our Declaration of Principle. You saw some folks there who are practitioners. A practitioner in this teaching is someone who has studied it, who's put it to work in their lives. And in fact, anyone who is consciously attempting to shift and change your life based on your consciousness is a practitioner. However, our licensed practitioners are those who have proven the ability to do this and understanding to do this. They are also those who have learned and shown that they can do that for other people. So our practitioners are here for you as well as for their own growth and their own personal development. Today we have a practitioner with us who will share some ideas, some thoughts, and then will lead us in a spiritual mind treatment. So I give you the wonderful, the indescribable, the newly entrepreneurial Barbara Geary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you. I want to say this morning, thank you to Dr. Bob and his leadership for bringing us where we are today. You guys look absolutely fabulous. The team, and of course the new addition, Jake. It takes work to do this, and I just want to say we appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So this morning I want to talk to you about the idea of oneness. We've had a lot of challenges of late in our community. We're faced with having in some kind of way to process what is being put upon us. It's not an easy thing, but of course we have to have a way that we're able to protect ourselves, that we're able to protect our energy, that we're able to keep ourselves safe. There are many techniques in which this can be done, and I'm going to share with you one of the techniques that I use, which is setting boundaries. Oftentimes, if you are watching the news or with your family or just in the grocery store, there are certain things that will come about that triggers you. That is an indicator where you're able to set your boundaries. Why? Because it allows you to be healthy. It allows you to be in a safe place. It allows you to be in a place where your spirit continues to connect with the oneness. We know without a question, being in that oneness brings a totally different experience than focusing on the outside. I have been studying this teaching for a while, and in some of those classes, we talked about empath. There are three different types of empath. They are physical empath, and of course, you sense the physical in the body. You can just instantly know where that hurts for another person. There's the emotional empath. And of course, as it says, you can sense whatever that emotion is. You can walk into a room and instantly you can identify that emotion, that energy. And we're all just balls of energy. And of course, there's the intuitive empath. And of course, that intuitive empath is that one that connects with spirit. And of course, that's what we do here on a regular basis. So how do you know if you're an empath? You've had people tell you you're too sensitive, you label emotional, or you just overwhelmed with things that are happening on a daily basis. And this is the indicator for you to reset your boundaries where you are healthy. Why? Because we are one. There is no way to not be part of the oneness. But we do have to take on that responsibility to make ourselves healthy, to make ourselves safe, to make ourselves secure in doing so. So I would like for you to join me as we come into a place of oneness. We recognize the oneness. We recognize I am the oneness. In the recognition of I am one with the oneness, I can know without a doubt that this oneness brings to me love, peace, and healing. It is this oneness that I remain connected to, generating love, peace, and healing. As a co-creator with spirit, I create love. As a co-creator with spirit, I create the experience of peace. As a co-creator with spirit, I co-create with spirit healing. In knowing what role that I have with the universe, in knowing the support and the love that I have here within the universe, knowing that the universe in all of its glory, in all of its oneness, gives me that love, gives me that support, gives me that peace, gives me that love, gives me that healing here in this very moment. As co-creator with spirit, I offer love, peace, and healing today and always. And for this connection with the oneness, I am grateful. And so it is. Thank you.
Love wins. Whatever the contest, whatever the battle, love wins. That's the answer, period. I remember years ago hearing, love's the answer, or this is the answer, or that's the answer. The response to I always had was, so what's the question? So the question today is how are we all doing in that most important relationship in our lives, and that is with our bodies? Because we are, for this whole month, going to be looking at this business of everyday wonder, the living in everyday wonder, and for this month, we're looking at the everyday wonder of our physical experience, our physical beings, our physicalness right here. Today, we're going to introduce this idea, and then over the next few weeks, we will flesh out various individual parts of today's talk into more detail. One of the things that Ernest Holmes almost always had his students do in class, this is one of the stories that goes around about him, and Ernest Holmes, for those who may or not be aware, is the founder of Science of Mind, is the founder of this teaching and this center and all the things that have grown out of that. And one of the things he would do is have his students hug themselves and say, wonderful, wonderful me. So if you're game, join me in wonderful, wonderful me. And if you're not, you can just sit here and look at me and I'll feel not any less wonderful about myself. So it's okay. Wonderful, wonderful me. It's all good. Now, the purpose of that is, so much of the time we get so caught up in the good things in our lives or the good things happening to us coming from outside. But the truth is, it all starts from here and goes outward. It goes outward. And it takes shape and form for you as your body in your day-to-day, everyday living in this thing that we walk around in, this thing that is part of who we are. And one of the core ideas we're going to talk about this month is that your body is uniquely, intimately, completely yours. It don't belong to nobody else. You have the freedom, you have the responsibility, and you have the joy of living in your body. Now, I don't care how they may look on the screen or how people may look at you see on TV or wherever. You don't have the freedom to live in those bodies. You get to live in this one. And the beauty and the power of that is I get to love this one. Because this is the one I'm dragging through my day to day, every day, all the way through. And sometimes dragging, and sometimes it's dragging me. And sometimes it's just a joyful dance down the road, through life. And so what I'm inviting us to think about this month is, how do we love our bodies? And if we do, how are we taking care of that? And how are we doing with those many, many messages that you may have received along the way that were anything but a loving thing about your body, that told you other things? And I was always too tall. I was bigger than everybody in my family by the time I was 11 years old. My mother was 5'2", my father was 5'4", and my sister is 5'1", and here's the Jolly Green Giant. And I was, it was always like Baby Huey was one of the nicknames. And later, though, they figured out that because I was tall and big, they liked that because I could reach stuff on high shelves, as we are using my grandson to do that, because he's passed me in this whole business of being bigger and taller. Well, taller anyway. So the whole idea here is that whoever and whatever we are, whatever our physical presence, this is the body we have. And this is the body that you created in consciousness. I remember very young hearing about a distant grandfather who was 6'3". And I thought, well, now there's a cool idea. Because I saw my mom, I saw my dad, and I thought, I want to be taller. I want to be 6'3". And that was a goal I set. I got to be 6'3". Is that because I set it as a goal? Maybe, maybe not. But I grew this thing with all of its wrinkles and its strengths and its weaknesses and its all of this stuff. So I have a choice then to either dislike what I've done or embrace it and love it. And really get in touch with what its purpose is and what it's doing for me. See, all bodies are good bodies. I don't care what the marketing world tells you. And I don't care what your own internal voice tells you about too tall, too short, wrong color, wrong shape, too big, too small. All of that two-two-two-ness, which is silly to start with, but yet it's so built into our world. Some people are shamed because their bodies are female. Some others because they're male. And some others because they're binary, non-binary, and there are all these various varieties now that people are understanding and discovering about themselves that don't fit any of those categories that are unique and individual and beautiful and good and very good. So I'm inviting you to spend some time with this idea and to think about it. We've all grown up with those social messages to the contrary. And so learning to love our bodies is really important. You know, I'm debating whether to tell this story. That's why I'm hesitating, okay? I think I'll tell it anyway. Some years ago, I was living in California. You know, out in California, we do things a whole lot differently than the rest of the world in some ways. And one of the things that happened was I needed a break. I needed a retreat. So I went to a hot springs. It was a clothing optional hot springs. And it took me a while, like several days. I stayed there for a week. It took me several days to join the clothing optional crowd. I took the option of staying as covered up as possible. But what began to happen was, as I saw all these other, every kind of shape of body and being you can imagine, running around showing themselves and proud of soaking up the sunshine, I went, that's beautiful. It took a little while. And then after a while, I got right out there with the rest of them. And I was so proud of myself. And here I am feeling good and feeling beautiful and, you know, sags and all, and everything the way it's put together. And then the very first person I walked and met when I hopped in the pool that way was a fellow Science of Mind minister. And I wanted to run and hide because I'm supposed to be spiritual. And spiritual people aren't supposed to enjoy their physicality. I mean, none of that's true, but that was that churning nonsense in my head. And I managed to make myself stay put. And the next thing I know, we did this whole thing where all the people in the pool got the water to swirling like in a clockwise direction. We were celebrating the moon, and we were celebrating moonlight and moon stuff. And pretty soon the water is carrying us as well as we are dancing around in the circles, and we're bumping into each other, and everybody's laughing. Totally beautiful, like little kids. There weren't any kids there. We were all full-grown kids. And I discovered for the first time in my life, I can love this thing. Here, I'll show you. No, not doing that. There are appropriate times and places for that. This isn't whatever. So you can relax. You know, no running for the doors at this point. The beauty and power of it, though, is when you finally get it, you begin to then be able to embrace some of what's going on in your physical self in a different way. Now, the starting place of that we've already talked about is this whole business that if by loving it, respecting it, we come to understand a whole lot more about our relationship with the infinite, our relationship with the universe. Ernest Holmes says, would we ever look at a beautiful oak tree and tell it ought to be a willow tree? Would you look at yourself and say, I should be taller, I should be skinnier? Of course we do that to ourselves, but we wouldn't think of doing it to something else out there. Now, if you're into landscaping, you might move an oak tree and put a willow tree in its place, but you wouldn't look at it and say, you should be something different, you know? In this wonderful world we live in, part of the wonderful thing about being in this power of oneness, this power of the infinite, is it that Our bodies are not our bodies. Because just saying our body or my body or your body implies a body that is somehow a separate thing from who I am and what I am. But our bodies is really the body. Who you are as the body, as the physical expression in this place. And that's a subtle difference, but it's really important because there's so many ways in which we are taught to separate. And yes, we talk about mind, body, spirit in order to talk about these functions that in which the ways in which we live in the world, but they aren't separate. Your mind, your body, your spirit, your consciousness, all of that is really unique and united. I love that in the science of mind, we say that we don't live in our bodies. Our bodies live in our consciousness. That the larger part of you is your consciousness. The larger part of you is your awareness. The larger part of you is your spirit. And your body lives within it. Which is how people can heal. Like that. I mean, our bodies are made to heal. They're built to do that. If you ever noticed, you cut your finger and immediately starts to heal. Coagulates, the two-ness starts to come back together as oneness. Our bodies naturally heal. So we don't have to make them heal. We don't have to make them do these things. We just have to allow and support and love them enough to give them the resources needed to do the healing that they need. And then often we have to do interventions and all sorts of things to do that. But that's just part of loving this physical self, loving this body that we have. So your expression and feeling of the divine is right here within you. And in feeling it and knowing it, you know that feeling. Anybody ever have God bumps? You ever have a moment where you went, aha, this is a truth. And this truth is so good and so real to me that you feel it. You feel the bumps. You feel the something tingly all through your physical self. Well, that's possible because your physical self is your spiritual self. It's not separate from it. It's one and both and all together. It's that same thing when you see someone who's feeling very much centered and grounded and alive and awake. You can just see it in their physical self. And you can't exactly describe what it is that looks different about them, except they look that way. The same thing with someone who looks very sad or tired or worn out or any of those things. What they're experiencing in life shows up in our bodies and shows up as who and what and how we are. You know, and all of our little physical issues, our complaints, our things that go on, our expressions are telling us something about ourselves. People told me for years, I had clairvoyants in different centers where I've been in, and medical clairvoyants who would come up to me and say, "You got a heart problem. You need to go take care of that." I'd go to the heart doctor, and the heart doctor would say, no problem. So I even went into one place where they called my name, and I went up and went in and got taken care of, and they were doing a heart cath, a thing with a sound where they do the sound checking on how your heart's doing. And right in the middle of it, the lady said, "So when did you have surgery?" And I said, "I never had surgery. What are you talking about? Well, aren't you so-and-so?" And I said, "No, I'm so-and-so." Oh, so I got a full free exam. Because she didn't pronounce my name well whenever she, I blame her because I heard it wrong. And they ran me out very quickly and brought the right person in and everything went from there. But what is also interesting is that many years later, I did have one. And it was not a heart attack. It was just some blockage where my heart had been clogged up and stopped up because I was having some stopped up issues of loving in my relationships and in my world. And it showed up physically. And it's taken care of now, and I'm doing great. But that was several years ago after I came back here. So you know, things show up. And I use me as an example because I'm giving all of you a break. I mean, I could pick out things that I've worked with other people about. But I'm sharing my story because that's the one I know best. And I don't want to put anyone else on the spot with your personal physical stuff. So we all have these things. So just think about, you know, Louise Hay wrote books about the possible connections between certain symptoms and certain things in consciousness and how those connect and relate. So just take a look. They weren't the absolute truth about anything, but they were hints to get us thinking about these things and how to do them better. But whether you change anything or not, whether you heal anything in your body or not, the issue is loving it just the way it is. Loving it fully and completely and richly and well, just the way it is. See, we are so much more than what does someone said, water encapsulated egos. So much more than carbon-based machines. And we live in a world where, to a great extent, we're treated that way, as carbon-based machines. We can, once they figure out this is the issue and this is how to mechanically fix it, and they do all the right stuff. And some of that has brought about some great and powerful, wonderful stuff. But when it loses sight of each individual's body as an expression of them, then superimposing these things upon us sometimes cannot be the answer or the solution. So what do you not love? What do you love about your bodies? There's an interesting medical doctor, Zach Bush. He's got a lot of stuff online. And he is the place where I first heard this idea that your body and my body is not my body. Your body is not your body. It is simply body. It is simply part of who I am and part of who you are. And he looks at the entirety of consciousness and the entirety of the physical world, not just your individual place in it, from that same standpoint of oneness, that same standpoint of interaction. And he has some fascinating things about how things have gone in the last 2 years with this business of the COVID epidemic and all of those things that have happened related to that. He doesn't deny or denounce it. He's not a denier or denouncer, but he puts it in a larger perspective and says episodes of viral infection in lungs come in the year following major, major volcanic eruptions around the planet. And that when viruses get going, they affect the lungs because the air in the whole atmosphere has been shifted and changed. So he looks at these things from a really big perspective. And he is the one who says then that our bodies are individual versions of this greater ecology, this greater cosmos, and he takes it all the way out to the cosmos. The other fascinating thing is that in our bodies, as our bodies, they aren't solid to begin with. We know that from science. We look solid. You know, you run into somebody else, it feels solid. But the truth is, it's just, we're empty space. Those of you who may think you're airheads, you're right, you are. I've been called that more than once, not in that pejorative way, well, sometimes, but the idea here is that we are more empty space than we are anything solid, because all of the molecules, all of the parts of us are just energy and information held into relationship with each other, which appears solid, like this appears solid, but it is energy held in relationship to itself in a way that creates what appears to be solid. Someday we will have the mental ability and the knowledge to be able to walk through walls and to do those kinds of things. We can transcend all of that. We aren't there yet. And Ernest says, since we can't walk on water, we should probably take a boat across the river and maybe take an aspirin when you have a headache. So it isn't an either or about any of this, but there's that dimension of non-solid that is so important. We talk about the cosmos as being made up of points of energy and information. And not only are there many of those within you, but you yourself are a point of energy and information within the larger, complex, infinite consciousness. So I want to share a slide with you because it brings home this whole idea that our bodies not only are a part of this infinite cosmos, but within us is the cosmos within every place and every moment. So the whole universe is inside of us. There are 130 photocells in your eye. Each cell has 100 trillion atoms, more cells than there are planets in the Milky Way. Each atom formed at the core of a star, because that's how that happens. These atoms are formed up billions of years ago in the formation of stars. So when we say you're made of star stuff, that's a real reality. So you are the universe experiencing itself. When you look out upon the world, when you look at me, when you look at each other, we are the infinite seeing and relating to itself. Now, in everyday life, that may not seem like any big deal, but when you stop and think about it in terms of valuing yourself and in valuing your body, that's some real powerful implications. They are important. So I would say that you are your body. You are your spirit. You are your consciousness. You are the individuation of the thing itself, of this infinite power coming into form and shape right now, right here where you are. Unique, different, never duplicated. I don't care how many doppelgangers you may have seen of yourself out in the world. Intelligent, absolute truth, divine. That energy, that power takes shape and form as you. And so as we go from this week and as we go forward into this month, spend some time thinking about this whole business of loving your body, this whole business of your body's perfection just as it is, because it's an expression of the divine. Because you're wonderful. So am I, and so it is. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be back here with our combined and hybrid. We've got folks in the room. We've got folks online. So we're having a wonderful time together. I'm enjoying the fact that I'm getting to see you guys in three dimensions, not just flat faces on a screen, and loving the fact that we're back here enjoying each other's time and energy. So to go further in today, and we talk a lot about prosperity. We know that the way to create prosperity is by giving and receiving and giving and receiving. And Vance is going to come and speak to you a little more about that. Thank you, Vance.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. Mm-hmm. An awesome talk this morning. And it's good seeing y'all. It's good seeing y'all and y'all out there. The opportunity we get to come together to give and share this great philosophy is amazing. So with that, I'd like to go through our affirmation of prosperity. And I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And you can give online on cslmidtown.org/donate or scan the QR code and it'll take you right to the donation site. And you can set up those donations either one time or on an ongoing basis. And I know lots of us have that ongoing. So with that, on to announcements. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Robert, for that. And just to remind you that we are meeting next week online only. Then the following week, which will be the whatever 2 weeks from today's date is, we will be back here in person. And I will let you know right now that I'm very happy that Dr. John Karn will be our speaker that week. I will be on vacation with the family and will not be here, but he will be here and we will have everything set up. Vance will take great care of him, I'm sure, as will the rest of you. And he will also be back with us again in July, because starting in July, we will be every week coming here. Those who want to come in person and start meeting. So we'll start meeting weekly here starting the first Sunday of July, and we will continue to do that. I think the second Sunday is when John will be here with us in July as well. So plan on being with us. Join as we begin to rebuild this community in person, in place here in Atlanta, while we also continue to grow online and reach out further and further. That Sunday, right after the last Sunday of this month, I will be on vacation in Florida, and I will meet with our community members who live in the St. Petersburg area. I'll be broadcasting from there, and then we will probably go out for lunch, you know, always got to have food, and be doing the service from there. So we are developing pockets of people all over the country who are interested in this teaching. We have folks in Mexico. We have folks in the West. We have a lot of different places to pop up. Philadelphia, I know that Sarah is one of our people. She always says hello. She's also a member of the center there. And they're just, you know, it's not an either or. It's a both and in a world of oneness. So I would like to close by inviting you to join me in our closing affirmation, which you will find on the screen. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is. And if you stick around a little while, we'll be in just a minute, hopefully have our Zoom folks on screen, and we can have a little chit-chat back and forth that would like to do that. Thank you.